This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Earthwise, Environment and Peace with Justice interviews on Plains FM 96.9.
Welcome to Earthwise. I'm Martin Griffiths. For today's program, Lois and I will be talking with a New Zealand journalist based in Gaza, Julie Webb Pullman. She has been there several years. For the last seven Fridays, since 30th of March, Gazans have gathered facing the so-called fence separating Gaza, enclosing Gaza from the rest of Israel, in an act called the Great March of Return. Every time they have been met with violence. Right now, Julie is in Europe. Welcome to Earthwise, Julie Webb Pullman.
Oh, well, Julie, why have you actually gone to Europe from Gaza? Can you tell us that?
Well, we are about to submit a lot of files to the International Criminal Court from victims of the last 7 weeks of vicious Israeli assault to the ICC, the International Criminal Court. They're being submitted today. In fact, you've got the scoop on this because the official press conference isn't for another 2 hours or out. Yeah.
Are you actually in Paris at the moment?
Lyon.
Lyon. All right. Yes, I know Lyon.
Yes.
I know Lyon. I've been there myself.
Well, that's exciting. I hope something will come of it. Will you be speaking to the ICC prosecutor?
No, we can submit by email. We have had meetings with the prosecutor. Our lawyer has met with the prosecutor several times. The last time in the second week, after the second week of attack, and the prosecutor then released a press release condemning the attacks.
Yeah, what is the name of the prosecutor? Can you tell us that?
Yes, Gilles de Vere.
Yes.
Gilles de Vere. He's a very famous international lawyer who is registered with the International Criminal Court. He has been also defending the Polisario movement in the Sahara, in the West Sahara, and had many big successes there with the European Court. He defends many cases of colonialism. He's quite renowned for his successful fights against rights of colonialized peoples, of which Gaza, obviously, and Palestinians are a very good example.
So, we'll just reiterate, you've gone from Gaza to France, hoping that we can finally get some action from the International Criminal Court, because there's certainly...
Yes.
Certainly many examples of anybody's understanding of humanity. There's some awful examples of is there more of a good feeling that this something will come of it this time?
Well, the situation with the International Criminal Court is that the process is that they open first of all a preliminary assessment in which they collect preliminary information, and then they decide whether there is sufficient evidence to proceed to a full investigation. Now, that decision to proceed to a full investigation can happen in three ways: from a directive from the United Nations Security Council to the prosecutor to open an investigation, a decision of the prosecutor themselves, or a complaint by the state party under Article 14 of the Rome Statute. But to date, President Abbas, who is the one with the capacity to make a complaint on the behalf of the state party, has made lots of threats in the media, but he's never actually made a complaint or lodged a communication under Article 14. He's never invoked it, which leaves the United Nations Security Council and the prosecutor herself.
So,
the United Nations Security Council hasn't, because when they had the vote, always the United States vetoes everything. So
So you're looking to the prosecutor himself to do it?
Herself,
yes.
Yes,
herself.
So we've been presenting, many, many, many victims have made their complaints, because another thing about the International Criminal Court is that victims can complain directly to the court. It doesn't have the same standing, but they can participate directly in the court. So this is what we have done in terms of presenting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of complaints from victims. In fact, over the last few years, since the 2014 offensive and since Palestine was signed their own statute, actually submitted thousands. So we believe that the prosecutor has more than enough information on which to open a full investigation.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. It's more a question of, will she actually do it? Let's talk about what actually has been happening in Gaza. When did you leave? Were you there for any of the demonstrations?
Just for the first 2 weeks of demonstrations. And of those, they were the 30th of March and the 6th of April. And I personally witnessed people suffering what appeared to be nerve agent exposure from gas attacks, which were convulsions and hallucinations, and terrible, terrible symptoms that nobody from normal tear gas, I've never seen those. I myself have been exposed to tear gas on many occasions, and I've never seen the...
Yes, I've read that they can't even analyse it. It's just so, such an unknown.
Well, yes, you can. You can take blood tests, and if there's lowered cholinesterase levels, that suggests exposure to nerve agents. So we can identify that there has been exposure, and we have done that. But to actually determine what gas was used, what nerve agent was used, that requires more sophisticated analysis, usually done in military laboratories. So the best we can do with that is keep the samples frozen, and when the prosecutor opens an investigation, then they can be analysed at that point.
Now, you were actually there. What was the sort of atmosphere, the sort of media spin we're giving by corporate media? You can imagine that people are being forced to gather there and they don't really want to.
That's absolutely untrue. The people are going there voluntarily. I don't know, I know I've got friends, a mother of 10 children, who was going herself voluntarily because they are, something like 70% of Gazans are refugees from other parts of Palestine. And they want to return to their homes. They have heard the stories from their grandparents. They know. They have the photographs. They have the keys to their houses. And they want to return home. And they have the right to return home. Yep. UN Resolution 194, they have the right.
From what I've seen of the from the news on the computer, I've seen that the atmosphere was in some ways sort of quite friendly and sort of almost like a party in the earlier demonstrations, almost celebrating as well as protesting.
It still is. The tent camps, the whole families was going to the tent camps every day, and they had clowns and things, activities for the children, sports activities. And in the evenings, all the people sit around talking, and they have dabka, they're keeping all the traditional culture alive, so they're telling traditional stories, they're doing traditional dances. It's a very festive occasion. It's not, they're portraying it as... And both sides of the media, the activist media is a bit at here too, because they show they've got this obsession with showing the tough, resistant lions of Palestine. So they show them burning tyres and with their shots and their stones against the tough history. But that also is giving an impression that it's all young men doing these semi-violent acts. It's not. It's like a festival most of the time.
It's hard.
And it's only the pockets with the burning of the tyres and that sort of thing.
It's hard to
try to... Mainly, the burning of the tyres is to prevent the Israelis seeing to shoot people.
Yes. It looks like quite an effective smoke screen. We've seen some of the shots. You can't really see through it, can you?
No. Yes.
It's hard to imagine what it's like to live there, actually, because they must feel betrayed by the West for so many years. Do they feel they have any support?
A lot of the time they don't. A lot of the time they feel that they are abandoned, especially by... They don't feel so abandoned by the public, but they do feel abandoned by the authorities, governments, and by the United Nations.
And
the very organs that should be defending their rights, they feel very betrayed by, because they have not enforced the right to which they say that they're entitled. The United Nations has all these conventions with fancy rights, but does nothing to ensure that Palestinians actually enjoy those rights. And so there's a lot of frustration, which is why they have taken these measures. They've had 70 years of this, you know. They want to return to their homes. They have the right. And it's a right in international law, and nobody in the international community is giving it to them.
And none of the media...
They're trying to take it.
None of the mainstream media that we read here are giving that impression at all, that they have the right to do it. That's not even mentioned, if at all.
No, of course it's not.
No.
They are trying... In fact, all of the media has portrayed this as being a protest against the American embassy moving to Jerusalem. And that is one small part of the protest, which is against Israeli occupation of Palestine and their right to return to the land from which they were forced out.
And speaking of journalists, of course, there are Palestinian journalists. They've been targeted, haven't they?
Well, they've been absolutely targeted. I've got at least two friends. One is dead and one is fighting for his life in the intensive care unit and will probably also die.
Yeah, the one we saw, who's Yasser Mutaja, he was the one who was killed. Did you know him?
Yes, I have met him several times at press conferences. He's a lovely guy. He worked a lot with youth, and he was a young father of a one-year-old. He was a very, very humble and very, very dedicated guy. He's just your ordinary young journalist doing a good job, and he was shot dead.
Yes.
And these are targets. Now, one of the people that I interviewed, one of the journalists, described to me how he was he was at the border, and he was way back. He was 400 meters back from the fence. He was taking photographs, and he saw one group of Israeli soldiers on his right and one group of Israeli soldiers on his left. And the group, as he was taking photos, he saw them taking photos of him. And then minutes later, he was shot in two legs and one arm. Boom, 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 three sniper shots.
Yes.
Absolute targeting.
Is he still alive?
Yes, he's still alive, but he's got, you know, he's out of action for quite some time because three of his limbs have been badly damaged by explosive bullets. Now, the thing about this is, you know, they're going, his legs and his arms, probably they would have gone for his other arm if he hadn't fallen over by then. But these snipers are highly trained, and as an Israeli general posted on his own Facebook page, every bullet is deliberate, and we know where it's going to hit, they said. So these are not random or accidental. These are deliberate, and they know who they're hitting and how they're hitting them.
Now, are these stories...
The thing about taking photographs is that what they do, the Israelis, they take photographs, and then they run them through the recognition, facial recognition program, and decide, is this somebody we want to kill or not? And if it's someone they want to kill, they shoot them. If it's not, they don't. And so it's actual targeted assassination.
And they're really proud
because they identify the person. They identify them, then shoot them.
They're really proud of their skill at it, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
The story you've just told us, is his story getting to ICC? Is it one of the witnesses?
Yes, we have many complaints, but I can't divulge the identities of the complainants at all. That would be a breach. Yes, so we have complaints from many, many, many people. Over 500 today that we've submitted. Families of the dead have their complaints. So yes, you know, this is a large number of people, and we are hoping to convince the prosecutor that regardless of whether or not President Abbas makes a complaint, the people of Palestine are complaining loudly and very strongly. This is not acceptable. And Abbas might accept this sort of attack on the Palestinian people, but the people do not. And this is all a strong message to the prosecutor and to the Western world that the president of Palestine, Mahmoud Abbas, does not represent the Palestinian people.
Yes,
there have been many polls recently, and they have shown his support dropping. There's something like 70% of people think he should resign. He does not enjoy any what could be called popular support at all. And he is not doing what the Palestinian people want. The Palestinian people are on the borders, they're in the streets. They are saying, we do not accept this occupation. We want our return to our historical homes. And we want the occupation of Palestinian territory to end. Well, President Abbas is collaborating his security forces with the Israelis in extending and perpetuating the occupation. So, and there've been no elections for 12 years. This is completely unacceptable to the Palestinian people. But the international community makes not a sound. They talk about democracy, but when it comes to democracy in Palestine, they refuse to accept the results of it. The people voted for Hamas, yet the media is still saying Hamas, which took control of Gaza in 2007. Actually, Hamas was elected. Did they say Jacinda Ardern took control of New Zealand? No, she assumed office.
I've seen
Hamas
that.
Assumed office.
I've seen that often. You never hear it at all. No. You're listening to Earthwise, broadcasting in Christchurch on Plains FM, in Hamilton on Free FM, and in Waikanae on Coast Access FM. Today's guest is Julie Webb-Pullman, a New Zealand journalist based in Gaza, presently in France, looking for legal support.
Well, Julie, our time's almost up, and I just want to wish you all the best. It's a shocking story, and I think even people who've tried to look the other way just can't look the other way anymore. I think everyone all over the world.
The latest atrocities are so atrocious that perhaps the world will wake up. There are articles here by somebody called Gordon Campbell, you probably know him, comparing this to the Sharpeville massacre in 1960 in South Africa, which I remember, I'm old enough to remember that, and the shock that went round the world when Sharpeville occurred. And the analogy is now being clearly drawn between Sharpeville and Gaza. Let's hope this goes round the world.
And all the best for that.
Yes, I think it is a defining moment in the Palestinian struggle because Israel has clearly shown, the world has finally looked at the blatant oppression and apartheid that is being practiced in Palestine by the Israeli authorities.
In fact, I know the Palestinian churches have used the phrase Kairos. This is the time. The time is now. So all the best, Julie, and thank you for talking to us.
We wish you all the best in all your campaigns.
And I hope
we
get some good news from the International Criminal Court. Thank you for talking to us.
So do we.
It'll be a long struggle for you, so all the best.
Yes, well, thank you very much, and thank you for all the support from New Zealand and from all around the world, because it means everything to the people in Palestine, and especially the people in Gaza who cannot get out to tell their story themselves or to even realise the support that is out there.
Okay.
It's very important to keep people's spirits up.
Well, Martin, we have a statement by Noam Chomsky in favour of the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. This is a boat that's on its way, actually, to Gaza. It's a chance of, again, international solidarity, bringing hope to the Palestinian people. And I'd like you to tell us a little bit of what Chomsky has had to say.
This is some of the very, very strong language from Noam Chomsky, very, very recent. The suffering of Gaza is a testament to the human capacity for sadism and pretending, quote, not to see. Sadism on the part of the savage Israeli occupiers who have never relaxed their iron grip on Gaza for a moment and are now assisted by the brutal Egyptian dictatorship.
That's strong language from Noam Chomsky. And I think we just have time to finish with a bit of news items. Actually, a bit of good news, which perhaps we do need. One item is that, last year there was a treaty signed in September 2017, a treaty signed in New York, 120 countries calling to outlaw nuclear weapons, and New Zealand is going to sign it. It will ratify it.
Yes, that's
some good news.
That's a fait accompli. The Parliament will ratify it, so New Zealand will be one of the 120 nations supporting this very important treaty.
And the other good news from New Zealand is that Greenpeace is quite excited about this one. The Prime Minister has announced that the government will stop issuing new offshore oil and gas exploration permits.
And another item of good news from India this time, a very strong blow against Monsanto, the chemical and agricultural company that is...
It's the most hated corporation in the world.
...taken over control of really the seed production in the whole world. India's top court has upheld a decision that seeds cannot be patented. Monsanto first introduced its GM technology in India in 1995, a long time ago, and today more than 90% of that country's cotton crop is genetically modified. These crops have been inserted with the pest-resistant toxin called Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT.
So they've ruled that it cannot be patented, which means Monsanto cannot make profit from it. Vandana Shiva is very excited by this. She said, the earth will win, seed will win, Monsanto will lose.
Good news at last there. Oh,
some good news. So from us at Earthwise,
goodbye.
A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. And nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night, while the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. But through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
night.